Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you once again for joining us. So today we're going to talk about my favorite topics. Retirement. Now, retirement means different things to different people, but we all have one thing in common, and that is we want to be financially prepared for it. So I'm joined today by a special guest who can talk about the latest report around retirement. They've done this huge report on how Australia retires. And believe it or not, there are some contrarian research here on what are our views, you know, what are the things that you didn't know about retirement? So that's what we're going to talk about. So please welcome Shannon Nutter, and she is the principal and chief executive of Vanguard Super. Now, for those of you who don't know Vanguard, it is one of the world's largest investment managers. They've managed more than $11 trillion of assets for more than 30 million investors. So it is our absolute pleasure to welcome her here. Shannon, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
No dramas. So we'll kick off with probably three stats that you've mentioned in the report that maybe not a lot of people know, and then figure out, well, what does this mean for their retirement? So number one, 2 in 5 Australians will take some form of extended break between their 20s and 50s. Tell us a little bit more about that.
That's an interesting finding. We looked at in this study over 1,800 working age Australians and those who are retired, really understand what are the attitudes and opportunities for retirement across the different age bands, from those who are just starting work to those who are already in retirement. And what we're seeing, which is really interesting among the working age Australians, is that there's a bit more of a mentality of, hey, I don't necessarily want the model that maybe I saw my grandparents have of working until I'm 65 and then retiring. I might want a bit of a break somewhere in between. And maybe that would be for family, maybe it would be for travel, maybe it would be for all of the above. And so what those folks need to think about, I think the idea of taking a break, great. If that's what you want to build into your life, that's perfect. But how do you ensure that it doesn't hurt you later on down the track when you actually want to retire? And so for those folks, I think if that is part of your life plan, you simply need to start planning for it sooner, thinking about how long your break might be, what the impact to your SG might be, and therefore, how do you start to invest or save earlier so that you're potentially making up for that shortfall that you might experience during any sort of break.
And I really love it that you've included numbers here. So for example, if you're 35 and you take 2 extended breaks over your lifetime, the first break might cost you $11,500 and your second break might cost you more than $22,000. So then you're saying, okay, maybe I've got this $30,000 hole, if you like, if I wanted to take a break. I need to incorporate that in my retirement plan. All right, so number two, 1 in 2 Australians under 35 years of age expect to take parental leave, including a high 39% of males. So I'm all for this, paternal leave, let's go. And 61% of females. Why is this new? I thought this is the thing right now, or is this more of like a generational difference?
Well, it'll be interesting to see over time. I think certainly men taking paternity break has been a newer phenomenon over the recent years. And again, depending on the incomes of any sort of two-person household, I think folks will need to think about that in terms of any potential impact to their retirement. Not discouraging them from taking break at all, actually. Like you, I'm all for this and having both partners participate in this. But what impact might that have? And so how do they think about that sooner rather than later?
And that is a you know, quite a significant statistic. You're saying one in two Aussies will be doing this. So it's just worth thinking about that, even if you're a small business owner as well, that you know that your staff at some point will be taking family leave, if you like. All right, we're like tracking onto statistic number three. Future retirees want to retire at an average of $99,000 per year versus those who have already retired. 99,000, how am I going to generate that kind of income when I retire? Tell us a little bit more about these stats.
Well, I think what we're seeing in some of the stats is that folks who've already retired, right, they've figured out how to live on the income that they have, whether that's from their super plus other investments plus potentially government pension, right? So they already know what their pool of money is, and they have determined a way to live within their means. What I think we see with younger, non-retired, I should just say, non-retired.
Approaching retirement.
Either approaching retirement or maybe I'm still years and years away from retirement.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of how I want to live and how much money I want during retirement, I think it's probably pretty natural to think that you want more. You want something more akin to the salary you're earning today. And so I don't think the expectation of wanting more is unusual. I think that if folks have that desire, you know, to have an income that's 60, 70 or more in terms of percentage of their current income, again, it all comes down to planning. How are you going to plan for that? How are you going to make that happen? And what are the kinds of questions or information you should be asking your super fund or thinking about your from your advisor in terms of what does my balance today mean for me in the future? How might that compound over time? And what kind of income might that generate when I reach retirement, so that if you don't like the numbers that you might see at the end of those calculations, you know, to the extent that you've got time to influence it, right, you're better able to do so. But it all starts with just engaging even a little bit and trying to understand some of that.
Just the fact that we can pin a number to the board, right? So we've got our mood board for our retirement, and we're saying, all right, so the average Australian thinks 99,000 is the magic number. How do we get there? Even knowing that just kind of gives me a little bit of confidence of like, maybe I'm okay with 70K or 68K, right? But at least it just gives me comfort to know, all right, this is the number. Having said that, what I really like about the report that you've released is that you've kind of articulated the different categories on where we sit in terms of our confidence with retirement. So maybe we can spend like the rest of the show talking about how to get from lacking direction to highly confident. Can I ask, what was interesting to you when you kind of looked at this report and say, oh, okay, this is where we're at in terms of the confidence journey?
This is super interesting and just a tremendous piece of the research that we'll continue to track over time. But I think the natural sort of hypothesis that one might have when they look at, well, low confidence, high confidence is, oh, just generally when you're younger, you'll be less confident. And then over time, as you learn more and you get more accustomed to investments, you'll just gain confidence. That isn't actually what the data says.
Mm.
Across all of these categories, we see a mix of ages.
Oh,
and the real defining factor on confidence is actually having a plan. And so when you think about that, you say, okay, having some sort of plan for my retirement, do I budget? Do I regularly spend less than I earn? Do I prioritize savings? And that could be contributions to super. It could be contributions outside of super. So things like that, which are really easy and accessible to anyone, you know, are the types of things that begin to create confidence in people saying, oh, wait, I'm going to be able to achieve the kind of life I want because I'm taking steps now and I actually understand my money.
Mm. So I know that it sounds easy to say, though, but very hard to do. Like, we all plan, we've got the best intentions, you know, 10 years from now, I'll have $1 million in the bank. But it never happens, you know, 12th consecutive rate hike, the bank of mom and dad. Yeah. What's the first thing that I should do to kind of get started? So from if I was, say, under the category of aspiring professionals, which is 30% of the respondents of this report or survey. They have high income. They want high income in retirement. They kind of have a general idea, but they want guidance. So how do they get from there to highly confident?
Well, I mean, I think as we talked about creating a plan, it's really understanding what does your personal balance sheet, if you will, look like today? You know, what are you spending? I think folks sometimes have an idea of that, but I don't know that they've always actually documented it or held themselves accountable. And I don't mean in some super formal, super rigorous way necessarily, although some people love their own personal Excel spreadsheets.
Yes.
I've definitely met some of those folks over time. But even without that, I mean, really holding yourself accountable to how much am I putting on credit cards every month? How much am I spending? Where is my spending going? And is all of that necessary? And where could money go from an expense to savings? Now, maybe that needs to go to your mortgage right now. Maybe it needs to go to build out an emergency fund. You know, those things are completely viable options. You might not have money to save at the moment, but moving something from an expense to something where it's doing something more productive for you financially is going to be a positive. And so that's just the start of the journey. And then as you start to have money that can be moved towards savings, right, making small incremental steps, I think. Sometimes we think of these big numbers we want in retirement or whatever that might be, and it seems daunting. But the reality of creating an automatic habit of putting 25, 50, 100 more dollars in some sort of savings mechanism, monthly, quarterly, whatever it is that you can do more regularly, is going to set you on a better path because that is going to just compound over time.
Well, definitely here at Money Magazine, we always tell our readers, take care of the big things. So the big things are, number one, your superannuation. I mean, believe it or not, some people don't even know what their superannuation balance is, right? So just even knowing that, and then the home loan, you've mentioned that, making sure you've got the best rate. Because then you are saving tens of thousands of dollars. So I really like this idea that we will not be forever in the lacking direction category or the aspiring professionals or the passives, that there is a cohort of Aussies out there who are highly confident. And I want to kind of maybe end this episode with the fact that you've said in this report that superannuation was probably one of the most powerful foundations for retirement, but also if it's right for you, because obviously we don't know everyone's personal situation, looking at a professional financial plan to kind of nudge you in the right direction.
Yep, absolutely. I think whether you plan for yourself or whether you work with someone professional to help you take stock of your finances, help direct you, help you understand where might a gap be between what you want and what you might end up with, super helpful. We see that those who have a plan are 6 times more confident than those who don't. And that could be by yourself or with a professional. So it really makes sense to take the time and spend the effort.
6 times more confident. We like that. We want to be more confident in retirement. Once again, Shannon, thank you so much for your time. I hope you enjoyed talking about this report. Was there any other highlights that you want to mention to our listeners?
I think just to highlight that closing the gap between potentially what you have and what you want is more doable than most people think. It just takes small steps. So get engaged, take action, make it happen.
Make it happen. $99,000. Here we go. We'll have to call it a day here, but certainly there's more of all that good stuff in the How Australia Retires report, and we'll certainly try and invite Shannon back again to just unpack some of the other statistics in there, because it's really great to understand where we're at the moment and how retirement trends have absolutely changed. Once again, I'm Michelle Baltazar. Thank you for joining us. But before you go, please don't forget, if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family. You can also send in any questions, comments. You might want to ask a retirement question and send it to us, and we'll send it over to Shannon on podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.